Good morning and Happy New Year greetings to all. I know I said that with a little more vigor probably than it deserves, but it seems like greetings that start with the words Merry or Happy or Blessed should not be mumbled. In fact, I was thinking today that if you are able to greet someone with a Happy New Year without moving your lips, there might be something the matter with you. But have no fear, because the text today deals with that which is considered to be hope. And it is just what is needed if you find that you're having a hard time being merry or happy or even feeling blessed. Our psalm today is Psalm number 147, which I'll read in the name of Jesus. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars, he calls them by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow upon the mountains, who giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delights not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scatters the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word, and melteth them. He causes the wind to blow, and the waters to flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Before we pray, I would just like to read three verses also from Jeremiah, the prophecy of Jeremiah, the 14th chapter. And those are as follows. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldst thou be as a stranger in the land and as a wayfaring man that turns aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldst thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning on the first Sunday of the new year, 2021. Father, we do not know what to think about the year that has passed, 2020, other than to say that whatever prayers we offered up in the early part of that year were done without the possibility of imagining what that year would contain. Help us, Father, to take whatever learnings, whatever lessons, whatever it is that we, as your children, are to take away from the year 2020, grant that to us, Father, and help us to look forward now to 2021, a year that we know will more than likely be filled with many things that are confounding, confusing. We know that more than likely there will be difficulty in this coming year for our natural bodies and our conveniences and our lives. We are certain, Father, that there are many things that are at work and that they are all in your hand. We do not know or understand the greater plan that you have that leads to your ultimate plan of the end of the world, of salvation, and of the beginning of eternity. But Father, we trust this morning in your strength and in your judgment. Help us individually, Father, to be filled with hope. Help us to turn to you in all things, trusting and knowing and believing and joyful that the one that I turn to hears, understands, and also will answer. Father, be with us this morning. We deal with the subject that is so critical, which is hope. You have given it, and we ask that we would be blessed by our consideration of that short word with such a long meaning. Heavenly Father, thank you for granting us the desire to be together, even in this remote way. Thank you for maintaining in us the desire to read your word, to think on your word, to meditate on your love and your grace, to desire to draw close to you as you draw close to us. Father, thank you for preserving this word, so that no matter what the year or the years contain, this word is steadfast, reliable, sure. And Father, we treasure this word that you have for us. Be with those, Father, who are filled with any kind of doubt or any kind of fear, any kind of trouble or turmoil. Be with those who are discouraged in any way or for any reason. Lift them up and give them hope for tomorrow. Be with those whose bodies are not cooperating very well, who have illnesses of many different kinds and ailments and aches and pains. Father, we ask for physical strength for this body, which is your temple here on earth in the physical sense, that each of your children might have comfort in that body, though there may be pain, though there may be disease and trouble, that within that heart could be the confidence that I am in the hand of the Master. I am in the hand of the Lord. I am in the hand of a God who loves me. Father, be with the nations of the world and their leaders in this new year. We pray for peace. We know that the Prince of Peace, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the only one who can truly bring that peace that often seems so elusive. But Father, we ask that there would be peace on earth. And we ask that there would be many hearts that would be turned from the turmoil of the world to the preciousness of your word and gospel. May many find the grace of repentance, that they would turn from their own way and turn to the way that is everlasting. These things we ask in Jesus' name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For a text today, I would just like to read two verses from the 8th chapter of Romans. I think they're probably pretty familiar. but they are also powerful and precious. Romans chapter 8, and we'll read verses 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Amen. It is truly a privilege and a joy to speak of hope. I have no idea how you will receive it or where your own heart is in regards to this question of hope for the new year, hope for the future. But it is a privilege to be able to speak of the hope that is set before us, the hope that God puts into our hearts and into our beings, the hope that sustains us, and if we are to believe this scripture, the hope that actually saves us. And we look at a short text like that and realize that in the first four words of the first verse, for many in the world, there's already a problem. And that is, for we are saved. And whenever I've read this before, I gloss right over that part and go, we are saved by hope, but hope that is not, that is seen is not hope, and so on. But how fundamental it is to realize that for many, just the idea that I need to be saved is highly offensive to them. Saved from what? Saved for what? What have I done? What could I possibly need saving from or for? And I pray, even in that this year, that there would be those who will find that they are able to hear the words, for we are saved. God's children know what that means. What have we been saved from? We've been saved from ourselves, our sinfulness and our sin. We have been saved from the contrary nature that we have and the flesh that would at every turn, in every way, turn away from you, separate itself from you, do the opposite of what you would desire. And Father, we have been saved from that. And we give thanks this morning to Him that He has saved us from all of that and more. But for we are saved is such a simple sounding statement. But for many, they have no relation to that sentence. They have no concept of what it is to be saved or to even need to be saved. Man can't realize his own condition. And we realize that God has to reach out first and touch the heart. And our prayer is, isn't it, that many hearts would be touched now in this new year. But hope must be pretty important when you think of it, that we are saved by hope. And one of the interesting things in the scripture is that the word often will take something that we would lump together as being just one thing and separates it very surgically into its pieces. For the word of God, Paul writes, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and is able to divide the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. So there is that precision, that surgical precision that God's word is able to help us with, to show us those pieces and those parts, to know that the soul is different from the spirit. The soul is that portion that will live forever in one place or another, in heaven or hell. The spirit of a person is that which can be uplifted, it can be downtrodden. But the spirit of a man, the spirit of a person, is that which God works on, and that is what is with us every single day. Are we joyful or are we not joyful? And so the fifth chapter of Romans tells us that we are actually justified by faith, and we often will sing and we say it, and it isn't wrong, that we're saved by faith. But actually, we're justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is what Paul writes in the fifth chapter of this same book. And so we are justified, which means that we are at peace with God. We have been made just and righteous before God through Jesus Christ, and therefore we have no lingering sin. There is no sin that condemns us any longer, but rather it is faith in Jesus Christ that justifies us before God. And then it goes on to say that in this text that we have, that we are actually saved by hope. And that is so important, because I think it's possible for people to believe that they have faith and that they are justified before God, but they really have no particular hope. And hope is kind of a foreign concept. We wonder, well, what is hope anyway? There are secular psychologists who have thought about this, and they have said that, well, hope is the line that connects you to the future. And I read that and thought, I think I agree. Even as a child of God, I think that they've hit on something there. Hope is that which connects you to the future. And for the child of God, that may be doubly, triply more so important than even for someone who doesn't believe, because it connects us to the future, and we have a living hope of eternal life. You know, this word hope is interesting. Sometimes people name their daughter Hope, if they've already named the other ones Faith and Grace and Charity and so on. They'll give a name of hope. And even people that don't believe particularly in God will sometimes name their daughter Hope. You don't ever find them naming them despair or discouragement or anything like that. But there's always a sense that there's something good about this child, and we want to put a name on this child that's gonna look up. And so hope is a beautiful thing that we also can struggle to define. The text in Jeremiah talked about the hope of Israel. And we know that Jesus Christ is that hope of Israel. Were the disciples that were walking, you may remember, after Jesus rose from the dead, walking on the road to Emmaus, the village of Emmaus. There were two of them. And they were discouraged. They had no hope. Jesus came alongside them and said that, what is it you are discussing and are sad? And they said, well, are you a stranger? Haven't you heard of all of these things? That there was a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and so on. And we trusted that it would have been him, or that it should have been him, that redeemed Israel. He should have redeemed Israel. We trusted in that. And isn't it interesting that they had this trust? And I've thought that this is about as close as the Jewish nation has come to embracing Jesus Christ as the Messiah that they wait for. because they viewed him as a prophet, still do. But they trusted that it would be he that would redeem Israel. He would be the Messiah. But something went wrong. And what was that? He died. And he wasn't supposed to die in their mind. They sought the immortal, but he actually came as a man. They sought a Messiah, but not a Savior. They sought a king, but not a Lord or a high priest. They sought a conqueror, but not a servant. And they sought the Messiah and thought that he was just a prophet, and still feel that way. And so the hope of Israel is still the hope of Israel today. And we have this long and lingering prayer that the Jewish nation will come to see that the one that you have sought for is the one that you came so close to believing in. They said, we trusted that it was he that should have redeemed Israel. Oh, Father, give them eyes to see that he has redeemed Israel. He has given them all that they need and all that they hope for and all that the prophets have spoken of. We talk about hope. And just about anyone can think about things that they've hoped for. And there's hopes that are plural. And then there is hope. Sometimes we have hopes for something, and it's almost as though our desire multiplied by how we view the likelihood of something happening is what gives us a hope for a certain thing. I'm going to drive to town. I have a desire to go there. With a modern vehicle, I'm 95% sure I'm going to make it there. So is that a hope when I think about going to town? Well, not really. It's one of the many hopes that we have in life. It's not really hope. It is just a factored hope that says, I hope to go to town today. I'm almost completely certain I'll be able to get there. And so it really isn't hope. It's one of many hopes that we have. We have hopes and dreams. And young people often have many hopes for life. They hope to get married, hope to have children, hope to have a great job and a career, and so on and so forth. And many times the desire multiplied by what they consider to be a low, low probability does not end up in hope. It ends up in discouragement. If the probability is low, but the desire is high, you're discouraged because you're pretty sure that it just isn't going to happen. And so there's a huge difference between hopes and hope. And what we are speaking of here, what Paul is speaking of to the Romans, is he is talking about singular hope. Book of Hebrews, in the 6th chapter, writes of it in this way, where he talks about God being unable to lie. And the writer says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable or unchangeable things, in that it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. That is the hope that Paul is speaking of, that saves us. The hope that is rooted in this, that God cannot lie. He has confirmed it in prophecy and by an oath, his own oath, and therefore, It is sure. It is steadfast. This hope that we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And that is the hope that is precious to us this morning and in this new year. We have hope of eternal life with the one who saved us. That is the definition of this hope that Paul writes of here. And I don't know, I think that the new year is now upon us. We're 3 days in. And there are so many unknowns to this coming year. And I pray that above all, we might have hope. We might be able to remember the anchor that we have, the hope that we have as an anchor of the soul, steadfast and sure, and that no matter what comes, we would not lose hope. Because the more we look at ourselves, the more we look at our emotions, the more we look at how we feel about things, and the more we look at all of what's happening in the world around us, the anger, the emotion, the discouragement, the frustration, all of those things that come so naturally to us because of our old man, the flesh, all of those things will be there. We can count on that. I pray that God would give us such hope that it would overwhelm all of those things that will wash over us from time to time. I personally have found that I have had to battle against bitterness. Bitterness about the way and the direction of the world. The way and the direction of so many things in the world. And the motivations of so many people, from all I can tell within myself. And I have had to battle and pray that, oh Lord, take away the bitterness, the anger, the frustration, and allow me to focus on that hope that is set before me. Allow me to look beyond. Allow me, with an invisible line, to be tied by hope to the future, so that I might always remember that is what lies before us and before me, not all of the things that threaten to scuttle us and send us up on the rocks of life. Paul also in the fifth chapter of Romans, it's interesting, he writes about the troubles of life. We may as well read those if you just want to flip quickly to that fifth chapter where he's talked about being justified by faith. He also, just a little bit further down from that, puts it this way. He said, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations or trouble also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Hope does not make us ashamed. There is no shame in having a sunny outlook for the future. There is no shame, and sometimes we hesitate, because if you bellow Happy New Year, as I did just a little earlier this morning, there are those who say, well, what are you so happy about? What do you have to be so joyful about? And sometimes we are prone to temper our joy for fear that it's going to offend somebody, especially another Christian who maybe isn't feeling it right about then. But we can see that hope is actually the product of trouble. It doesn't exist in spite of trouble. It's the product of it. He says we glory in trouble because trouble works patience, patience works experience, and experience results in hope. So there is no shame in being hopeful. there is no shame of speaking of those things out of a heart of joy that you know to be true. There is no shame in saying that I have tremendous hope for this year. I have tremendous hope for the future. But it's oftentimes we are tempted to do that because it just seems like, well, there's not that much to be happy about. And maybe that's what we need. Maybe that's what we need is more of those who will say that in spite of everything that's going on, I am joyful today. I am happy today. I am joyful because I'm filled with hope that God alone has given to me. In the 15th chapter of Romans, he talks about how that which was written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures that we might have hope from those things. And we recognize, oh Father, we need patience. We need patience with ourselves. We need patience with those around us. We need patience with our leaders. We need patience. And we recognize that the patience and the comfort that is in the scriptures gives us hope. The last verse I'm going to read is from the 15th chapter also. And it says, now the God of all, it's the 13th verse, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God, help us. Give us that heart of the prayer in that verse, Father, that you, the God of hope, will fill us with joy and peace in believing, that we may abound in hope through the power of your Holy Spirit. Dear Father, help each one of us to be that beacon of light in the darkness. Help us to be that lower light that is reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. Help us to be those lights that shine into darkness. And the deeper the darkness, the more insignificant the light needs to be in order to be seen. Father, help us that we could be the light of Christ reflected, that we could be, even in a small way, that reflection of that great and powerful light. Help us to shine in times that are dark. Help us to strengthen and uplift those who are around us. Help us to have compassion and patience. Your word, your grace has great patience for us. Help us to have patience with one another. And help us to go through this year with peace, joy, with happiness, with love, with charity. Your word says that there are these three things, faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of those is charity, which is love in motion. Father, help us to have faith, which justifies us. Hope that saves us because it tells us of the future. And charity, great, great love for all those with whom we are in contact. In Jesus' name we pray. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.